On this show, I'm going to talk about what it's like to study Japanese in Japan. Should you go with Gogo Nihon, or should you go with Gajipon, or should you just contact a Japanese school directly? What are the best options for you to come study in Japan? Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Tokyo Podcast. I'm your host, Anthony Joe. And on today's show, I'm going to talk about what you got to do if you want to study Japanese in Japan. This is a question I get asked a lot, actually. So I kind of thought I'd talk about my experience. I didn't actually come to Japan to study Japanese, but I worked with a lot of students. So I'll talk about kind of what you need to do and some of the things to look out for if you're thinking about studying Japanese in Japan. Before I get started, I just want to quickly mention that if anyone is interested in taking over this podcast from me, let me know. I've been thinking about what I'm going to do with the show. And the show, the reason why I haven't taken down the show yet is the show still gets a surprisingly high number of downloads. I'm really surprised at this. I looked actually the other day and like my very first show, which I think I did in 2011, still gets like a few thousand downloads a month. Like, why the hell is anyone listening to a show at 7 years old? But, so I think the show actually has a lot of potential. Obviously, the domain name Tokyo Podcast has a lot of potential. The social media is not that active because I never post on it. But I think there's a lot of potential for the show to grow it and even to monetize it, even with the current numbers that it has. And it's remarkable that the numbers still exist, considering I'm not even in Japan anymore and I do a show like once every 6 months. So If you like to kind of discuss it with me about taking over the show, visit my website, tokyopodcast.com. Just send me an email off there and happy to discuss it. So on today's show, I'm going to talk about studying in Japan. If you want to come to Japan and study Japanese, what are your options and how what's the best way to go about doing it? So the first thing that I'll talk about is your three options to come to Japan to study Japanese. Basically, you can apply to the school directly, deal with the school, get all the paperwork and all kind of stuff, and then when it comes time to study, fly over here, go to the school, and study. That's one option. Second option is go through a company like Gogo Nihon, which they will kind of act as an intermediary between you and the school, and they will handle all your paperwork and processing and all that kind of stuff. And then when you get to Japan, they'll basically meet you at the school and say, here's the school, and they'll kind of take care of you while you're in Japan. Third option is go through a company like Gaijinpon. So Gaijinpon also has a study program, and they're kind of similar to Gogo Nihon in that they offer visa support and all that, and they work with a bunch of schools to help you get over to Japan. So which is the best option? Well, this answer may seem complicated, but actually I think it's very easy in that I think Gogo Nihon offers the best option. And I'll explain why. First one, going to the school directly. This option should only be used if you already have a pretty good level of Japanese. Because, as I've mentioned many times on my show before, Japanese companies are not very good at dealing with international students or clients or customers or anything like that. They are really, really focused on dealing with Japanese people. And you would think that a company like a school whose primary customer base comes from overseas would be really great at handling overseas inquiries and handling students and all that kind of stuff. Nope, wrong, not in Japan. So chances are that if you try to contact one of these schools, one, they may not even have an English-speaking person or someone who speaks any other language but Japanese on staff. Two, they may not even answer your email because it's technology. And you're going to end up with a lot of frustrations trying to figure out what are the necessary documents and all that stuff that you're going to need. Do not be surprised if they won't screw you over, but they will not be overly helpful to make sure, may make you feel confident that you are going to be able to proceed smoothly, put it that way. Because I've seen a lot of situations where the Japanese just kind of forget to tell a student something, and then later on they kind of blame. They'll always try to blame you. They're never wrong. So you really don't want to, there's no point in going that route and dealing with all that frustration when services like Goku Nihon and Gaijinbot are the same price as the school. So their services are free because the school pays them a commission. So there's no point in dealing with all the hassle of going to the school directly. So unless your Japanese is really good and you already have a pretty good understanding of what the documents are required, I don't recommend contacting school at all. So then the second option is either do you go with Goku Nihon or do you go with Gaijinbot? And this one's pretty easy too, is that Gaijinbot's service and Goku Nihon's service are kind of similar in that they both act as an intermediary between the school. And the reason why is just because what I said earlier is the schools are not able to handle international inquiries. They don't know how to deal with foreigners very well. And as with the case of almost everything in Japan, there's always an intermediary. There's always a third person in the middle that you got to deal with. And so the Japanese really like this system where they kind of deal with a third party. So the schools are very happy to pay a commission to Goku Nihon or Gaijinbot in return for those two companies bringing them qualified students. So the school's like, yeah, great. We don't have to talk to these students in languages other than Japanese. They'll just show up at our doorstop with all the paperwork done, all that. Man, that's fantastic. Sure, we don't mind giving you a commission here. So that's why for you, the cost to use Goku Nihon or Gaijinbot is free, because they're basically getting a commission from the school. And the school doesn't raise the tuition or anything like that to cover that commission. They just take the hit. And they're willing to take the hit because it's easier for them, because then they don't have to deal with foreign students. So both those there's really no reason why not to use the service. So both those services operate the same. And basically, they'll help you get all the necessary paperwork and documents ready. Both companies are very familiar with handling inquiries from all around the world. So wherever you are in the world, wherever your home country is, they will know what documents you need and make sure that you have the right documents and all that kind of stuff. So so which service is obviously better? My personal feeling is, even though I used to work with Gaijinbot, is the Goku Nihon service is actually better for you than the Gaijinbot service. And the reason why is because it's just the nature of the two companies. Gaijinbot is essentially a sales company. Their primary business is their job board. And whenever you have a sales-based company, typically customer service and those kind of things are lacking compared to a customer service-focused company like Goku Nihon. Because a sales-based company, they don't want to outlay any cost because that eats into their sales commission. So for example, like Goku Nihon offers lots of parties and welcome parties and lots of activities for the students to be able to enjoy once they come to Japan. Gaijinbot doesn't like to offer those things because they look at those things as cost, and that eats into profit. And when you have a sales-based company, you don't want to do anything that eats into your profit. So you want to offer kind of the least amount of service possible and charge the highest amount of money. So this is why Gaijinbot doesn't really offer a lot of services and benefits to people once they've actually arrived in Japan. Now, if you don't really need to use these kinds of things, like you don't need to attend a student party, or you don't want to go to, you know, a student meetup or like the Sakura party, all that kind of stuff, then yeah, go with Gaijinbot or go, neither one will be able to do the job for you. In that case, I might even recommend going with Gaijinbot because they're probably a little bit faster in getting back to you than Goku Nihon does. Goku Nihon, one of the knocks against them is their response time is pretty slow. So if you email them, they'll take a few days to get back to you, whereas Gaijinbot will most likely get back to you within a day. So if you just want to come to Japan, just want to study Japanese, you don't really care about a lot of extracurricular activities, then Gaijinbot is probably a better option. But if you want some support in the country and you want to be able to meet the other students and have some parties and go to cultural events and all this kind of other stuff, then I definitely recommend going with Goku Nihon, because they are a customer service focused company. Their goal is to provide really great customer service so that the students will in turn tell their friends and they'll get more service that way. Gaijinbot is a sales based company, and like I said, their goal is to provide the least amount of service so that they maximize their profit. So It just depends on what type of situation you want. I'm guessing most of you probably want to come to Japan to not only learn the language, but meet some other students, have some fun, enjoy the cultural events and parties and all that. So then if you're that person, I recommend going with Gogo Nihon. And so like I said, like the service for you is free because both companies get a commission from the school. And so it doesn't cost you anything. And one of the reasons, one of the benefits to this is going with these companies is that to study, to get that student visa, you need to submit a lot of paperwork. And depending on what country you come from, it can be a more or less. So you need to submit things like your work history, your maybe even your parents' work history, your bank statements, like all kinds of stuff. And Japanese immigration is really picky about whether you get this stuff right or wrong. And like I said, like the Japanese, you got to remember, they really don't want foreigners there, right? So they're not going to make it easy for you to get there. And they'll use any excuse to deny your application. So what you have to do to get around that is just make sure your application is absolutely perfect. And how you do that is you use services like Gaijin Park Gogo Nihon because they have visa experts on staff who will check everything and make sure that your visa application is perfect. If you go directly with the school, that may not happen because those people working, the staff working at the school, they are not necessarily experts on visa at all. Like they're just usually just, you know, clerks working at a desk handling student inquiries. But they may have some experience dealing with visa just because they worked there a long time, but they won't be experts on it. So if you want to make sure that your visa application is going to get approved, definitely go with the service like Gogo Nihon or Gaijin Pot. Another thing is, one thing you got to keep in mind with this service is hard to wrap your head around sometimes, actually, is that there's the time frame throughout the year as to when you can apply and when you'll actually get to Japan. I think the application deadline and the time you actually get to Japan, I think there's about a 6-month gap between the two. It's about like 4 to 5 or 6 months sometimes. It's quite far. So for example, if you wanted to like study in say October, I think the application deadline for that ends in something like March or something. Like it's super, super early. So you keep that in mind. Don't think like, oh yeah, I want to study in October. I'm going to apply in July. It's probably too late. By July, they're probably finishing up applications for like January. So you really have to kind of keep in mind your time frame about when you actually want to be there and then backtrack to when the application deadline is. And the good thing is with this big gap is once you're approved, then basically you have like a 6-month gap to twiddle your thumbs and do nothing until you actually go to Japan until the school starts. But what I recommend you do during that time is study some Japanese. Don't think that you can show up to school and know absolutely no Japanese and you will be able to start learning like right away. You can. It's possible. Some people do it. But it's better if you know some Japanese. Now you're thinking like, what the hell? Why should I study Japanese in advance if I'm going to Japan to study Japanese? That only doesn't make sense to foreigners. To the Japanese people, it's totally logical because they basically expect you to speak Japanese anyways. And so the pace of the classes in the beginning, I think, can be quite quick for someone who's never, ever studied it. So if you want to kind of avoid that and avoid yourself getting lost, take the opportunity to study at least hiragana, katakana, and some basic kanji. Learning hiragana, katakana is actually not that difficult. You can use mnemonics and a few other, there's lots of apps that can do that. You can really do that within a week or so, I think. But if you can have kind of the basics of that down, you will be much better off once you get to Japan. Trust me on that, because you don't want to get behind the class, because once you get behind, you're really screwed. It just really, because they move on from hiragana, katakana to the kanji very quickly. And if you haven't mastered the basics, when they're in the kanji, man, you're just so far behind that you're lost. So use that time to study beforehand. So when you get there, you're all good to go. Basically, when you get to Japan, you get to the school. If you can speak some Japanese already, man, the school loves you. The more Japanese-y you can be, they're so happy. We don't have to deal with any foreigners. Yay! Another question I get asked is, like, is the cost. Is how much does it cost to study in Japan. And there's a number of things you have to think about. One is obviously the tuition of the school. And I think this varies between the school. You can go on the school website and they will list the cost. I think Gogo Nihon probably lists the cost. Gajipot lists the cost. But I think for a year, it's usually about $7,000 to $10,000 just for the tuition. And then if you want to and the maximum you can study on a student visa is 2 years. So if you want to study for the full 2 years, just obviously double that. That's just for the tuition. And then you want to factor in, obviously, your transportation costs to get from your country to Japan. And then you'll need to get an apartment. And I've done two other shows on getting an apartment, so I won't go into too much detail here. You can check my website, tokyopodcast.com. Just search, like, finding an apartment. But basically, the summary is plan on having about 6 months' worth of rent available to be paid when you first move into your apartment. Yeah, so if you're renting your apartment is $800 a month, then you want to be able to have $4,800 available to pay first month, last month, all the fees and all this other stuff. So just remember that when you move into your apartment, it's pretty damn expensive. Then you'll want to get a cell phone. Getting a cell phone is actually not that bad, I think. It's there's a lot of options now. There's like the main carriers like AU and SoftBank and whatnot. And then there's some like smaller ones, NVNO or something like that, I think they're called. The only one that comes to mind is called Sakura Mobile because I used them for a little bit. And I think my bill is about $50 a month. With SoftBank, it was about $90 a month. But the cell phone, there's a lot of cheaper options. And obviously, once you get your home, you want to get it furnished with like internet and utilities and gas and all that kind of stuff. So I really think that if you're trying to budget, like how much do I need to get started when I land in Japan? Tuition aside, and your airline ticket aside, how much do you need to like get living in Japan? I think you should budget at least $10,000, $10,000 to get started, because that will be more than enough for you to, you know, eat, get an apartment, get a cell phone, get your train pass, and all this other kind of stuff. If you're not planning on working while you're studying and just living off savings, then this shouldn't really be a concern for you, because you should have been able to budget out basically for 12 months. How much do you need? And I actually did a show with Gaijin Pot called Cost of Living in Japan. If you search Gaijin Pot, the podcast, Cost of Living in Tokyo, we did a big breakdown on how much it costs in Tokyo. But Tokyo is really not that expensive at all. I think you could easily live on there like $1,500, $2,000 a month as a student. So just think about that. If you need maybe $25,000, $30,000 a year to live there comfortably as a student. But if you're thinking about working part-time maybe later on to supplement your income, then I would try to budget at least $10,000 when you first arrive to kind of carry you over until you can get some actual job, some work. One of the questions I always get asked too is like, is it cheaper to live out in the sticks, like in the countryside, versus living in Tokyo so I can save some costs? Yeah, it is, but you really don't want to be taking the train like 2 hours every day to come to school. Yeah, it's not much fun. It gets old very quickly, and especially if you're young and you're kind of like doing a lot of fun activities downtown with your friends and all that. The last thing you want to do is like, you know, take a train 2 hours at the end of your day to go home. It's really becomes quite far. If it doesn't feel that far, maybe in the beginning, but after a while, after you get to have a bit of a social life, it does feel quite far. So, and the thing is, it's not that expensive to live in Tokyo. There's a lot of like cheap housing that's available. That's actually one of the benefits of going through Gaijinbot. Is if you go through Gaijinbot, they have that Gaijinbot apartment system. So there's landlords on there that will accept foreigners. They're not that cheap, unfortunately, but at least they'll accept foreigners. So you could always look on there. But I really recommend kind of trying to live as close to your school as you can. Last thing about finance, a lot of people always ask about scholarships. You know, are there any scholarships available? There's no scholarships that I know of that are offered through Gaijinbot or Gogo Nihon. I don't think any of the schools offer any scholarships. There might be something available from the Japanese government, but I don't really think so. So you're going to have to, if you want to study in Japan, you're really going to have to pony up the cash yourself. You're going to need at least $10,000 for this tuition. you're going to need at least 10 grand to get started in Japan. So keep that in mind before you start your application process, because you need to actually prove to the visa immigration people that you have that much money in your bank account. So you need to have, I think, 2 million yen in your bank account, which is about $20,000, and before they'll even consider your application. So it's not a cheap game to come over there. But once you're over there, you can start to work. You can start to offset the cost. Like I said, cost of living is not that high. It's pretty expensive once you get started and to get over there. And then once you're there, if you want to start finding part-time jobs and whatnot, Gaijinpod, their job board, has a long list of part-time jobs that are available. You can work up to 28 hours a week in Japan. I know a lot of people actually, what they do is they do a lot of freelance work in Japan too, because the internet is so awesomely fast in Japan that if you're like a freelancer, that you can supplement your income that way. Other than that, a lot of people end up teaching English part-time, maybe working in a restaurant part-time, but there's really not a lot of job opportunities available to students. Actually, there's really not a lot of job opportunities available in Japan if you don't speak Japanese. So, and obviously, if you're a student, your Japanese level is not quite there yet. So you're kind of limited as to what you can do. You might be able to find some work in like gaijin, a business that have like gaijin customers, like maybe a restaurant or whatnot. But keep an eye on the list of, there's a list of jobs that you can and cannot do as a student. And if you violate that, they can yank your visa. So just pay attention to that. But there's a lot of part-time jobs on Gaijinpod that you could do. And since you're only studying in school 4 hours a day, that leaves you actually a lot of time to either hang out or work to offset the cost to offset your daily living costs there. And last thing I want to say is if you're thinking about coming to Japan to study Japanese, I really suggest that you think about maybe not studying in Tokyo, because almost all the students want to study in Tokyo. And while it's great to be in Tokyo and offers a lot, I really think there's other parts of Japan that if, especially as a student, can offer you even more. For example, well, I guess it also depends on where you're coming from. But if I was a student and I was coming to Japan, I probably, based on my background living in Canada, I probably wouldn't go to Tokyo, because Tokyo is just so busy, so crowded, so expensive compared to a place like Osaka or even Fukuoka. I would probably go to Fukuoka, actually, because Fukuoka is... The thing with Japanese cities is they're all kind of the same. It's like they built one and they just say copy and paste, and they just pasted them throughout the whole island because they're very, very similar. So the experience you have in one city will be very similar to the experience you'll have in another city. There's just more of that experience in Tokyo than there is in smaller cities. But in a place like Fukuoka, it's kind of the geography that really makes a big difference. Is that Fukuoka is really nice because it's got the mountains there, it's got the beaches there. It's much smaller. You can kind of walk around the city. You could ride a bicycle if you wanted to. And it's just not as jam-packed as Tokyo. And even Osaka. I've been to Osaka a few times. And one, the people are much friendlier there. And it just doesn't feel so crowded as Tokyo does. So even consider like Hokkaido or up north in Sapporo. If you like being outdoors in nature and all that, don't go to Tokyo. There's no nature in Tokyo. Go to Sapporo. It's super nice up there. There's nature everywhere. You go skiing in the wintertime. So think about that. If you're going to come to Japan, everyone always wants to come to Tokyo because it's so well known. But I think there's a lot of other places that could offer you even a better opportunity than just going to the big city. I hope that answers any questions that you have about studying in Japan. Whether you decide to go to Gogo Nihon or Gaijinpod, I think both are the same, and both can get you to Japan as long as you fill out all the paperwork properly. You should have no problems getting there as well. Basically, you need lots of money, not lots of money, but you need to have enough money to get started, and you need to fill out the paperwork. It's amazing how many things in Japan go well when you fill out the paperwork. When those old geezers can just basically look at your paperwork and every box is checked and they can just stamp approved, God, they love that. But if one tiny thing is wrong, they just love bringing out the decline stamp saying, wrong, you're not coming to my country. But if you get everything right, then they have no choice but to allow you in, you know. So Gogo Nihon or Gaijinpod are both really good at making sure that all your paperwork is working perfectly. So have fun. Go to Japan. It's super fun. And if I missed anything, you have any specific questions, feel free to email me off my website at tokyopodcast.com. And that's it. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm your host, Anthony Joe, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.